This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is that time of the day. The Daily Mock at 1 o'clock here on the Midday Show as we dive into a different mock draft and look at what the Philadelphia Eagles are going to do with the 32nd pick next Thursday night. All right, today we're going over to Pro Football Focus, their latest mock draft. Number one overall, easy, Cam Ward, the quarterback out of Miami to Tennessee. Number two, the Cleveland Browns select Travis Hunter, wide receiver, cornerback out of Colorado. Number three, a little bit of a shakeup here because we haven't seen this in a while. The Giants select Shedeur Sanders, quarterback out of Colorado. Number four, Pat select Abdul Carter, Penn State. Number five, Mason Graham, the defensive lineman for Michigan, goes to the Jaguars. All right, as we go through this, we scroll down here to the Philadelphia Eagles, and we have ourselves a new name that we haven't seen in any of these mocks. Nick Emanuori?
Yeah, Emanuori.
Emanuori, a safety out of South Carolina. All right, the way they say it here is the Eagles already have the best roster in the NFL. Now they add a physical outlier to their defense. How about this? At the scouting combine, and this is safety, by the way. He measured 6'3", 220, and ran a 4.38 40.
Yeah, he was moving.
With a vertical inch of 43 inches. This kid is an athletic specimen. Hugh, your thoughts on the safety out of South Carolina?
He's very versatile, very athletic. I'm looking at some of the things that they're saying about him, and I'm trying to envision him in this defense. Running a 4.3, you're putting him back there in his size with some already speedy guys.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, 6'2", 220-something pounds, physical player. That, if you get a guy like that, it loosens up everything in the secondary, and you have somebody that's probably going to come up in coverage and be able to hit, because I'm assuming, haven't seen too many highlights on him, but you got to assume a guy that is that big is coming up, and he's putting some hands on
folks. I watched a few highlights. He stands out. Like, he's big.
He putting hands on somebody.
You know who he reminds me of physically? The kid in Baltimore, Kyle Hamilton. Because when he came out, he was a very big safety. So Hamilton is 6'4", 220. And the Eagles, and that was the draft they ended up with Jordan Davis.
Yeah, but I think there was a talk about
there were rumors about Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah.
This kid's interesting to me. Nick Emanuori out of South Carolina.
And it fills a need that you have, and I know that, for most people, they don't really like the fact that you're going to have a bunch of young guys back there. But I feel like you have enough up front and enough in front of him that, if you teach him and he learns the same way that these other guys have learned, he'll be okay.
So
I think he'll be fine.
He blew up at the combine. That's when his stock started to rise. I mean, he had a good career at South Carolina, but he was the only safety at the combine in over 20 years to run as fast as he did, jump as high as he did, and jump as far as he did in the broad jump. I mean, he's an athletic
11.6 or something like that.
This is an athletic specimen, and he was quoted after the combine saying, "I don't think you've ever seen a safety like me." So he's got a little
bench
bit of
press 20 reps.
He's got a little bravado to him. Kyle, what do you think? Emanuori, safety, South Carolina.
Yeah, fine. It's like boring, I guess.
He's cool.
That's fine. He can be cool, but
you mean
like,
the position is boring?
I'm getting sick of thinking about taking a pick at number 32. I think I'm out on that entirely. Can somebody shake things up and give me a mock draft where the Eagles trade up for a big time player?
Like, you know, number 4 for Abdul Carter, like we did last week on the show?
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, no, 32 is not speaking to me anymore. Well, I think I've grown out of it.
It's not, you want to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and 32 have had your better days?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't be. In fact, I'm going to be surprised they pick at 32. That spot doesn't scream pick. It screams trade up, like Kyle's saying. Or, Hugh, if there's three quarterbacks that don't go in the first round but might go early in the second, you know someone's going to make them an offer to jump to that final spot in the first round, so you guarantee you get that quarterback before the next day.
So you just wait. You think they're just going to be waiting to see, you know, what kind of moves they can potentially make.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I think that they'll have somebody at 32, but if there's potential to move, I'm thinking that if there's potential to move, that they probably will.
Yeah, I could see them having like 3 or 4 guys, and if 23's on the board and they love the player, maybe they jump up. You know, the Eagles have 20 picks the next 2 years. There's plenty of ammunition to go up and get a player they want. Now, how high will they go? I don't know. And that's how we. I mean, I wanted to go all the way to 2 or 3 on Friday.
It feels like the kind of draft where after 15 and all the pretty good players are on the board, I'm snoozing, going to bed.
You're falling asleep.
Yeah.
You're not listening to our draft show?
Well,
you better.
He said he just told you what he was about to do.
You can't go to sleep. We got a whole draft show.
No, that's fine. You guys can enjoy that.
We will. All right. Next Thursday night it is. I'm kind of out on 32 as well. I'm going to trade up or trade. Again, if there's quarterbacks on the board and someone's offering a haul to move up a couple spots, then yeah, they might move back. Eamon Worry, though, today's mock draft. He is an athletic specimen out of South Carolina. And safety is a huge need. I mean, let's just be real about it here.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's why I'm not mad at it. But I hear Kyle. Kyle's like, it doesn't move the meter for him. But I like it.
He does seem like an interesting player.
Yeah, he does.
He's right that you don't see. Like, just when I first read his profile before I went and looked at the highlights, I just was like, wait a second. Is this printed wrong? 6'3", 220, runs that fast?
Athleticism.
You don't see many safeties big.
Yeah, you don't. Definitely don't see
how that. Big was Sean Taylor?
Sean Taylor was a big
because Sean
dude.
Taylor was athletically probably the best safety I ever saw, and unfortunately his career and his life. Yeah, I got you. But I thought he was going to be
he probably would have been a Hall of Famer.
I think so.
It's safe to say that because he was special.
Sean was listed at 6'2", 230. So,
yeah, he
was 10 pounds bigger than this.
Yeah.
And he ran like the wind and crushed people.
Yeah, Sean was no joke.
Yeah, he was a great football player. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. All things Phillies. And you can react to the mock draft stuff as well. Mark in Woodbury Heights talking to Phils and their early season issues. Hey, Mark.
Hi, guys. Hello, Hugh.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Hey, Mark.
Blessed to be alive today. Blessed to be alive.
Definitely.
I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. I've called the station several times over the last several weeks since the season started and talked about this offense. And I've heard several times it's early, it's the first game of the year, it's the 12th game of the year. Listen, they are what they are. And what are they? A roster that creates a lot of weak contact, swings through tons of pitches, not real discipline at the plate, bad approach. I don't know why everybody's in love with this batting coach. He, like, goes under the radar. I mean,
everyone's in love with him.
Well, yeah, everybody talk about how great he is. Yep.
You know what? We're all
never
everyone's
heard
looking
one bad
for,
thing about
everyone's
Kevin
looking
Long,
for a lever
and
to pull.
He needs to be fired.
They can fire Kevin Long tomorrow, for all I'm concerned. That might be the first lever they pull around here, Mark.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, this is Dombrowski's fault. And Rob Thompson doesn't help when he puts Rojas and Marsh in the lineup on the same day. I mean, there's two automatic. With Bone, there's three automatic outs yesterday.
Yeah, you can't win that way. You cannot win that way.
I mean, here's the bottom line. I don't know what they're waiting for. Bring up the Crawford kid now. Just put him at the top of the lineup. They did bat Schwarber behind Harper. I recommended that last week.
You know what? The first thing I thought of when I saw the lineup, I said, that's Mark and Woodbury's lineup.
He did say that.
Yeah.
Yes. It hasn't done much, but
it's okay.
I mean, they are what they are. And here's the problem, Joe. After they lost to Arizona 2 years ago, you needed to break up the roster a little bit, and they didn't do it. They brought the whole team back, and now they brought the whole team back again. This is not a playoff team. They're not. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if it's April 1st, December 1st, July 1st. They're not a playoff team. They're not, offensively, they are inept. They'll have stretches. They'll hit some home runs. Everybody will get excited. They'll put up 12 one night. The next night, they'll put up two. They're not a playoff team. Gentlemen, God bless you, and have a great day.
You too, Mark. Appreciate it. They did. I mean, Topper did steal Mark in Woodbury Heights' lineup on Friday. He called in. He gave his lineup. We saw it 3 hours later.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're a playoff team, though. I mean, that history has proven that much. How far they're going to playoffs, now that remains to be seen.
So I remember we had a conversation before the season. Are they a lock? I didn't feel it then. I don't feel it now. Now, I'm not saying telling you today on April 14th, I'm saying they're going to miss the playoffs because I don't feel that yet.
Mm-mm.
But the NL is better than people think it is. Like the NL West has the Dodgers, who are going to obviously be good. The Diamondbacks, who are a good team. The Padres, who are like 11-3. And the Giants, are they coming here, what, 11-4? That's just that division. The NL Central has to have at least one team. Those are the rules. And the Mets look better than the Phillies right now. So that means the Phillies could be in the wild card mix. They just better wake up. Like 2 years ago, they just kind of just putzed around for 2 months and still made the playoffs. I don't know if you could do that this year. And as far as the Crawford thing goes, that drumbeat's going to get louder. Hugh, the more Marsh struggles, people are, I mean, Rio's on it, Mark's on it. People are going to want Crawford up here.
Yeah, and I think it's going to happen. I think that it probably would happen later in the season, but because of the way things are going right now and the fact that Marsh is struggling the way it is, we've been focused on Bohm for the last couple of weeks, but Marsh is a lot worse. He's in a lot worse position than Bohm is right now. And I think that it's forcing Topper, or it's going to force Topper to have to make a move soon.
And Bohm has a little extra cover because there's no third baseman at AAA ready. You know what I mean? Like Aiden Miller's their young infielder, but he seems like he's not quite there.
Yeah, not there yet.
Like they have a first-round pick center fielder at AAA. Like that's pretty easy to just say, bring him up. Like Bohm almost has more time to figure this out. I actually think they're going to replace Bohm with a trade deadline thing. I think they're going to trade for a third baseman, and that's how they're going to replace him this season. But Marsh, if it's to figure this out, they might just move Crawford up here very quickly. I mean, I don't know if he's ready, but I'd be excited to watch him play.
Yeah, you want to see something different.
His dad was awesome, too.
And the unfortunate thing about all this, Joe, is that a lot of us are feeling the way that we're feeling because it's eerily similar to what it was last year. Everything that's happened, we talked about the chase rate and how it was down and everything like that, but it's eerily similar the way that we're having these power outages to last year.
Well, speaking of power, if not for Schwarber, nobody's hitting home runs.
No.
I think they have 14 as a team and he's got 6. That's a lot on one guy to have to carry the heavy lifting for home runs. Patrick is up next on WIP. What's up, Patrick?
Morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Hey, what's Patrick. Up, what's up?
It's 1:12.
Good to talk
PM.
To you. Hey, listen. Yeah, the Phils here. I guess already we're, I try not checking in until Memorial Day. You know, so, but it's real hard for me to just sit here just kind of watching go by without really commenting because we're just picking up from where we started last season. And, you know, there's essentially no moves. We added an arm when we needed other things. And you know, Ken Sinnamans, my best hopes coming into the season with what we had was that maybe the early tells in spring training that they're going to take some more pitches, that they're going to, you know, we're not constructed as a small ball team, but any team should be able to practice putting the ball, you know, the bat on the ball, making contact and keeping the ball in play. And that was my hope for something new, you know, something changing the season. And you know, obviously we're not there. And listen, we got a boatload of problems right now. We got a boatload of problems. And then you look at the East and say, okay, where are we going to fit in here? So, listen, man, I just think it's going to be a long, long summer. And Ron from Monco, I'm not with him exactly, but I think I might jump in his boat where he's at with them.
That's not
because
good.
If something doesn't change quick, man, Hugh, I know it's early and I know it's a long season, brother. But listen, man, we're doing the same old, same old.
Yeah, and it's not working.
I see it. Yeah. I definitely see where you're coming from. I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, and Patrick, good funk. You know what I thought about as a couple callers ago said it was on Dombrowski? You know, Dombrowski really is, you know, I know we call you Do Nothing Douglas. Do Nothing Dombrowski.
Do Nothing Dave.
Do Nothing Dave, two straight off seasons. I mean, it's really remarkable. Now, to be fair, Lizardo was a good move, and that's actually, Lizardo might be their best player so far this season. So that was a good trade. But I mean, as far as the everyday lineup, the position players, they really have kept this thing very status quo for two straight years, and people are annoyed by that.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people said early on, before the season started, that they were going to wait and see when it comes to the playoffs. Nobody's doing that.
No, because the pledge.
Yeah, because of the pledge and the fact that we've seen some of the same things that we've seen in the past. It's irritating for a lot of folks. I get that. It's very, very irritating for a lot of people.
Yeah, and look, I'm okay if the GM of the team does something that different than I think. I mean, they're supposed to know more than me, but you better work, right? Like, you doubled down on the core of this team, and you doubled down on some of these mid-age players like the Stotts and the Bohms and the Marshes to get better. Well, they're not getting better, especially Bohm and Marsh. I mean, those guys are going backwards right now. That's not what you want. Joe is up on WIP. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Buzz. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up?
Okay, so I'm going to start from the top to the bottom. First of all, I want to apologize to Middleton because Dombrowski's really doing a terrible job. Middleton is a fan like we are, and it's messed up that it's Dombrowski. I say Dombrowski, I spell it D-U-M-B.
Dombrowski.
Got him.
Dave Dumb.
That'll do it.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I know what you mean.
So, I mean, you can't keep running the same stuff back. And the batting coach. Somebody says something about the batting coach.
Yeah, Kevin
Law. He's got to go. I mean, can we bring Charlie Manuel up just to give us some pointers? I'm sure Charlie Manuel can jumpstart something.
Well, didn't we do this in 2019? We threw Charlie in the dugout for a month or two. It was fun. Let's do it again. I'm in. Get Larry in uniform.
Like Boa back, yeah. Yep.
Boa would flip some tables.
Boom, he has to be in a different situation because he already doesn't feel comfortable in Philly, and now he's off his limb, and he's not going to come back in Philly. He can come back. He needs a small market team. Maybe we could trade Oscar back for Boom. I don't know.
I mean, I would do it. Now, Reese is not off to a great start this year, but if you tell me I can have an at-bat tomorrow and I get Reese at the plate or Boom, I'll take Reese.
Yeah, bring we're left-handed heavy. Yeah. We need young kids that are right-handed that hit. We always go for the older generation, the second contract guys or third contract guys. We don't never get a good contract where they got good time left. I mean, everybody like Harper, in his 20s. I mean, we need it younger when they've already proven themselves. Stott, great kid, but he let's put Sosa there. We need to put Clemens somewhere. Clemens is... hitting is contagious. We need to get hitting. Even though Clemens is left-handed, we need more right-handed batters. But Clemens always comes through, and that's why I don't understand why he's not up here.
But he is up here. They just don't use him. He's on the team, Joe. He's in the major leagues.
I know. But, he's in on the team, and Boom and Marsh ain't doing nothing.
I know. All right. Well, I think part of it is positionally. It's tough to find a place. But, I think you got to at some point get him in the lineup. Joe, we appreciate the phone call. You had a lot of ideas there, Hugh.
A lot to digest.
Once Hoskins back, once Boehm out. How do we think Boehm's going to handle this week? So they're back home 7 days, no day off, seven straight days at home, Giants and Marlins. Now, if he gets a few hits tonight, I'm sure he'll get a big cheer and everyone could exhale. I'm a little concerned about Boehm this week at home. Hugh, I don't sense the crowd after a couple at-bats, if he's slamming the bat, is going to be...
If he's making contact, I think he'll be fine.
He just needed some home cooking.
Yeah.
Kyle's throwing that back in my face.
Let me paint a picture for you.
Just that.
He gets a couple hits tonight. Everyone cheers him. Maybe a little standing O after his second hit or third hit. Everyone feels great. Let's go to the other side. He gets an 0-for-4 tonight, and that last at-bat he strikes out. What's this crowd like tonight here?
Standing ovation. You know how we do.
Wait a minute.
In Philadelphia.
You saying if you go what now? 0-for-4 tonight?
0-for-4. Oh. Last at-bat's a strikeout.
You might have a... What was that year when he said he hates y'all people?
22.
No, you might have one of those nights.
Yeah.
I'm going to need him to pull a Papelbon to the crowd. He's grabbing his junk as he's walking back to the dugout.
Defiantly?
Yep.
I'm just saying...
I'm okay with that.
A defiant junk grab.
Do we think Boehm is in a good headspace for Philadelphia tonight? I don't either.
I think that...
You can remove tonight from that, too.
I think the fan base will be... If he gets a couple hits, hard hit balls, and he'll be fine.
I actually think his first at bat tonight.
I think he just needs a couple hard hit balls that still fit. Like
hard
that,
hit balls.
But he's had a lot of those.
This is what he's done all season long.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He's,
but if I think they'll give him a little,
they're not. No, we're not. We're done with the hard hit balls thing as fans. I think.
See, this is when people say you're pushing buttons.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm pushing.
You're instigating.
I'm not instigating. I'm trying to be positive.
You're instigating
balls hard.
Huh?
Huh? What? Skating. I'm skating. What?
You're instigating me.
Oh, I'm not instigating you. I'm trying to be optimistic.
Yeah, that's a problem with me.
I think he's going to get...
That's what I'm talking about.
I think he's going to get a hand when he steps up for his first at-bat tonight. I think he's going to get a we got your back type of thing tonight.
Yeah, until the game goes.
First at-bat. Yeah. First at-bat, I think he gets more of a cheer than you would expect. Not a boo.
You know how I feel about
it. Well, I'm just telling you why I think it's going to happen. How do you think we should embrace him tonight? A silence?
That
like,
a boy. Hey, or Alec.
I'm not saying a standing thing. I'm just saying
I think we sit there and react to whatever he does at the plate tonight.
But we know he's fragile.
Great.
Like Marsh, I don't think gets anything. No one even cares. People are getting popcorn when he's up at the plate because you know it's a pop-up anyway. But I think Bone people are going to be locked in on, and they're going to try to give him a little bit of, let's go, Alec, let's go. Like something positive until we see the result. Just saying, I'm
out.
Yeah, I know. I'm out on Boom to begin with. Let's go to Donald in Chester. What's up, Donald?
Hey, fellas. How you?
Donald, what's up, buddy?
Well, you know, I was watching the game clear up until it was 4-0 yesterday. And, you know, I was paying attention to the details. And, man, it's hard for me not to, like, agree with Mark from Woodenboro because of the collapse, you know, last year, but yesterday I was paying attention to it, and I was looking, and I realized just how their anticipation of pitches was way off. Just wrong guesses, you know? And also, too, I was listening to it on the radio one day, and the announcer asked Kevin Stocker what he wanted to see differently from them. And he said, execute when there's two strikes. Well, I said, after watching the game yesterday, I'm like, well, if you're going to stand there and take hittable pitches and you're going to miss hittable pitches, well, later on in the count, you're going to be swinging at balls in the dirt, balls far, far away, and all the junk and missing. And I was like, I said, well, how is it that Schwarber seems to be the only bright spot, you know, in this lineup? Because I'm like, man, this pitching staff is pitching like, as far as right now, they're pitching like they're ready to go in October. You know, they actually look like that to me. But I was like, man, I just watched this lineup and I said, man, there's so much stuff going on. Because if you can't play low ball, like if you can't play small ball, then it gives a bad sign that you're not a complete hitter. So therefore, you're just limited to everything that you do. So, you know, I get it. You know, I just get it. I told Kyle when I called, I'm in the 62%
screener
category, man. I'm there.
You don't have to apologize. Donald, it's okay. I mean, you know what? This is part of the pledge. We all took it. Donald, we appreciate your phone call. You don't have to apologize for having some concerns. That's what WIP's here for. We voice those concerns.
Every day.
Yep.
That's right.
We apologize sometimes, though.
We do apologize when we have to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You anticipate any apologies coming this season for Boehm and Marsh?
Mm.
You mean saying they're sorry for what? For what they did?
No, us to apologize to them.
I'm not apologizing.
Well, Hugh's not going to.
Well, you wouldn't even if you should.
Yeah, I apologize.
Well, you did that one time.
Yeah, that one time.
Yeah. Well, everyone heard it. So 215-592-9494. All right. We will check in with you people coming up at 1:45.
You people.
And on the other side, we'll get to what could end up being one of the Phillies' biggest mistakes this offseason that we haven't really spoken about yet, but the evidence is mounting that Do Nothing Dave may have missed on this one. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Strike three right down the middle, and that's the way it ends. Jeff Hoffman closes the game with the final six outs.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Joe Giglio with you. You met that name, Jeff Hoffman, here for a couple years as a lockdown reliever, and then, of course, Phillies let him go in the offseason. And he ended up signing with the Blue Jays, Hugh. He almost signed with the Braves and the Orioles, but both those teams backed away because they had some concerns over his shoulder. Well, so far, so good for Jeff Hoffman. 9 1/3 this year, 13 strikeouts, 1 earned run, 1 walk. He has been one of the best relievers, like he was last year, in all of baseball. And do-nothing Dave Dombrowski said, see ya, Jeff. We'll see where it goes. I mean, two teams did flag his shoulder, so maybe down the line he's going to have some trouble. That one might have been a miss by the Phillies. He was really, really good here, and it seemed like he wanted to stay, and they just were like, yeah, we're moving on.
And he's a part of the attitude era. I saw the video yesterday. Oh, who was it? Who were they playing against?
Baltimore.
Was it a Baltimore? Yeah, the Orioles, and at the end of the game, he blew him a kiss.
They were one of the teams that flagged them. Medical.
Yeah, he's on a revenge tour. Yeah, he's definitely on a revenge tour.
Wish that revenge tour was happening here for the Phillies, because they sure could use an arm like that in the bullpen. Can we hear from Hoffman after the game yesterday when the Toronto Blue Jays beat the Orioles?
Outside, when I'm thinking about the games before the games are being played and stuff, yeah, obviously, like that's definitely in my head. But once I'm in the game, in the moment, I'm focused on making pitches and. All that stuff. If you get starting to think about all that stuff while you're out there, things tend not to go well. So I do my best to stay in the moment and just try to make the next pitch and get my team back in the dugout.
Was it something that you were thinking about at all after the outing? It looked like you showed some emotion after closing it out, and it looked like you blew a kiss towards the Baltimore's dugout.
Definitely. I'm excited when we win. Like I said, it's hard to win in this league, and we put together a good second half of that game, and it was nice to get that one.
All right, revenge tour. Jeff Hoffman is making a great start to his career up in Toronto.
I'm okay with that.
I'm happy for him.
I'm okay with the revenge tour. Okay with being showing emotion when you're out there, because I know a lot of times, especially for closers, you got to have ice water in your veins, man. And to be out there and feel like, because you like in order blowing kisses to folks, you feel like you're untouchable at that point. And he looked untouchable. So yeah, blowing a kiss, I think that was pretty.
I was always a fan of his when he's here. He gave them two outstanding years. Now, I had a couple of tough moments in the playoffs, including last year against the Mets. I get that, but
It was brutal in the playoffs.
Regular season, though, for two straight years, he was their best guy. I mean, for 2 years. So he got here in May, I think it was, 2023, and then all the way through 2024. They haven't replaced him.
It stings. I mean, they came into the season thinking, you're thinking they might be an arm or two short, especially a right-handed arm.
Yep.
He's a right-handed arm.
He's right there.
Still pitching really well.
You see that. You're like, oh.
At the end of games, high-leverage spots.
Shoulder seems all right.
Could use him. Shoulder seems fine.
Do nothing, Dave Dombrowski. Letting him go. I wonder at some point if someone's going to kind of dig into what really happened this offseason. Did they run out of money? Did the owner say no more? Or did Dave just really think they had enough? I mean, now they still might. The season's got a long way to go. But they look like they're missing pieces right now. That's just the reality of it. They look like
that. A lot of pieces.
Well, right now they're getting below average production at catcher, third base, shortstop, center field, left field.
Sound like to me.
It's a lot.
Sounds like a World Series team to me.
It sounds like, all right, Joe from King of Prussia is going to give us a different perspective on this Phillies thing. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. All right, so I'm going parallel on the Eagles, and I'm saying the end of the season when we collapsed, 10 losses, whatever. Mm-hmm. What did we do? We got a big-time free agent, and then we brought in some young boys. We got Quinion, who was awesome, Cooper. And then we got the Georgia guys with another year under their belt, and it just took off, right? The defense, the team just gelled, played great, and we know the story there. Here's my Phillies thing. We got to bring the youth up. Let's get the Crawford kid in. Let's bring in Austin and see if these – I really do like – the idea of like Harper, Schwarber surrounding those young guys, creating that vibe and seeing what we can do. We might take a little step back, but we certainly know what we got with Marsh and Boehm. It's not going to change. I know everybody's hopeful, but I think it's time to make that move for the opportunity to create a new sort of move forward that has a youth movement to it. Then Painter comes in. That's how you create a situation where we perhaps could take off in the second half of the season. And it's similar, right? We don't have a bye week, but we need to create a change. I don't like the way the trajectory is going. It's not positive, and we need to change the narrative. That's my deal right
there.
Well,
I do agree with your overall idea. Now, the question is how quickly they could do it, and are those guys as ready? Like, to use your parallel, Cooper DeJean, once he got healthy around week 5, week 6, whenever he got in there after the bye with the Eagles, he was ready. I mean, he played really well and obviously helped them. Quinion was ready pretty much early on. I don't know if Crawford is as ready as those guys are, but I agree with your point, Joe. Like, they need a boost. They need, like, a jolt of energy because they don't have any right now.
Yeah, and guess what? The coaches didn't know for sure if Cooper and Quinyon were ready.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But they gave it to them, man. They knew they had a good resume in college and all that stuff. But that, who knows, right?
And you know what, Joe? Here's what else they knew. They knew that even if Cooper wasn't ready, he was probably better than Avante Maddox at that point. So you just had to get him in there. So to your point on this, I don't know if Crawford is fully ready, but he's probably better than Marsh right now. So maybe we just get him up here. Yeah.
It's time to create that new vibe. Let's go. Let's give it a shot.
Joe, the more this show goes on, Joe, good phone call. Rhea brought it up. We've had callers bring it up. Hugh, I do think they have to be wrestling with this internally. Like, how much longer can we wait?
How much rope do you give them?
And how much does ready really matter? Like, if tomorrow Justin Crawford is a better baseball player than Brandon Marsh, then does it really matter? Like, if he's better, he's better. Yeah. Even if he's not exactly where we want him to be fully developed.
And there's a lot at play here. I think the fact that you didn't do anything in offseason or you tried to do something and it didn't happen, that kind of speeds up your timeline a little bit. And the fact, let's just talk about it, Topper is somewhat of a lame duck right now. I mean, that's the reality.
Well,
he
doesn't have a long-term deal.
Yeah, he doesn't have that. And, you know, your future is predicated on how well this team does. You know, and if it's one of those things where if this thing keeps spiraling out of control, then you're going to have to make some drastic moves, like probably quicker than you wanted to make them.
Yeah. It was like well before the trade deadline, right?
I mean,
we can't wait for that.
The Eagles comp it's interesting because
very interesting.
Because the Eagles were a completely different team after the first 4 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess there's a few, I think, key differences, though. Like the Eagles did make a lot of changes in the offseason after the 2023.
They added maybe one of the five best players in the sport in Saquon.
Now, they got lucky with an infusion of youth and some guys like around the margins that ended up becoming like pivotal players, mm-hmm. Zach Bond. Phillies didn't do that. Also, the Eagles kind of had that moment after week four. They had the bye week, and they sort of they were able to reflect on everything.
You can say the Sirianni bubblehead
and make
moment.
Changes. Yeah, sure. Like, but I don't know if
Topper's
that's coming.
Shaving his head?
Yeah. I just don't know if that's coming.
And
Phillies
cussed out one of the fans in the stands.
Topper's not going to do that.
No.
Nick swung on somebody in the stand.
What Philly would?
Well, you got to embellish the story a little bit. He's in folklore territory.
So like, I don't know it. I question whether or not, like, the Eagles came into the season saying we're going to be an offensive pass-heavy team, and they had to switch that and rely on other things that were their strengths. I don't know if the Phillies have something to lean on or to pivot to where it's like, well, we thought we were going to be a pitching-led team, and now we can pivot to our offense. They don't really have anything to pivot to.
All right, the closest thing I could think of, if we're going to try to keep drawing the parallels, I mean, so two things. One, Rhea brought up the idea earlier that Bryce volunteers to hit leadoff, right? The way, in essence, Jalen took a back seat or changed his role a little bit because they wanted to run the football. All right, that could work. The other thing is, and Hugh, now this one may be more complicated, but Andrew Painter pitched his first game on Friday night in the minor leagues. He looked electric in two innings.
Yeah.
How long can they waste his pitch? Like, he has so many innings in his arm this year, right? Whatever. I don't know if the number's like 90, it's 100. I don't know what number they have pegged that he could throw this year. How many are they going to waste in the minor leagues?
That's a good question.
I don't think it's two. I don't think he's up here this week. But a month from now, if he's mowing everyone down and we're struggling up here,
All depends on how Taiwan doing.
Well, okay. So, but Taiwan doing well could also doesn't mean he can't be here. You could put him in the bullpen
and have Ranger in the lineup or whatever. You got options. You have options. But I think it bodes better for him if he's given time to get up to speed, if you will.
I know. I'm just saying, if they need energy,
or you need, you're talking about a shot in the arm. For lack of a better way of saying it, a blood transfusion.
Yes,
you need some fresh blood up here.
Sometimes you need some new blood.
Yeah, new blood,
Andrew,
fresh blood.
Andrew Painter could be our transfusion. Fix this season. It is kind of
metaphor.
Yeah, that's all we do in the show. Metaphors.
Metaphor.
Well, here's the real question. I mean, you hinted at this because Hugh, a lot of the Andrew Painter timeline will be predicated on the back end of the bullpen and the back end of the rotation. Like they're guys he could replace at some point. What are we thinking? It's 1:40, and we got a big game tonight at 6:45, where Taiwan brings his sterling 0.00 ERA out
now,
there.
Can I?
Hugh,
let me
come
say,
on. We need
no,
it.
No, wait a minute. Let me just say this because I don't want anybody to think by me saying this
that
this means that they're going to lose. I don't think they're going to lose. But I don't see them going past three innings tonight.
Oh. What are you
and I
doing?
Know, and you know, that does not jive well with what we just talked about as far as
I thought you believed in Taiwan.
No, I do believe in him. I just feel like tonight is going to be a little bit rough.
Is Jung-Hoo Lee going to take him deep?
That's the other pitcher.
No. He's a hitter on the Giants.
I thought you were trying to be funny.
Pitchers don't
three
hit.
Innings. Dude, what happened?
I just think my contact, I'm on blinking on him. My contact went soft.
Blink if you need help.
I just think that tonight it's going to be a little bit rough for it. That's you asked me a question.
But he's your guy. Oh, this is terrible
this
news.
This is why I hate that I'm on TV. My contact is acting up now. Doesn't help that I'm blind.
I can't believe this.
It does not help.
At our lowest point, off of 4 out of 6 losses, we need a big Taiwan start, and you're the Taiwan whisper.
And this is
where you lie to everyone and say complete game shutout.
See, that's what I can't do.
Yeah, you can.
I can't lie to people, man.
Sure you can.
You asked me what I was feeling.
Three innings? How many runs? Like, if he's only going three innings, runs are on the board. You're not pulling it after three scoreless.
I think... See, why you ask me?
Because... Everyone needs to know you've hit the first two almost perfectly.
The reason why I think, and I hope I'm wrong. Let me say this first. Let me say this second, I guess, because what I said first kind of put people in a tizzy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. I feel like they're not going to leave him out there too long.
Okay.
Because it's probably going to be 2 or 3 runs early. It's probably
they don't have enough bullpen firepower to be taking him out.
You asked me what I think.
You're not excited for Carlos Hernandez?
We don't like what you think.
I know you don't like it, but now you're asking me to change it by giving me solutions that I'm not feeling.
This is where we just berate you for lying, for telling everyone the truth when you should have lied.
Don't you know how this works? What do you think? You say what you think, and then we rip you for it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I'm surprised.
But everyone looked to you for hope today. Like, the Phillies had our tough road trip. Taiwan, the stopper, we're coming home. Shutout tonight. He was going to predict it, and then
sometimes
you let everyone down.
Well, sometimes you shouldn't ask questions that you really don't want the answers to.
No, but I felt a responsibility to the audience after you nailed his first two starts.
You shouldn't ask me, because when you asked me, I was like, when you asked me what I was thinking this morning, I was like, I hope I'm wrong. Let me say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong. But right now, when you asked me this morning and you're asking me now, it just doesn't feel like it's going to be a great outing for him.
Is Hugh officially no longer a Taiwan guy?
No, he's out.
No, it's not.
Nope.
Fine, don't ask me anymore.
I just can't believe this happened. The guy's got a 0 ERA.
You know, it's
two starts.
I know.
You jumped off the bandwagon for no reason.
I didn't jump off the bandwagon. You asked me how I felt.
You did this whole hope springs eternal crap. It doesn't spring that eternal.
Because... Every pitcher
sprung
is due
for 2 weeks.
Because the Giants are hot. See, the Rockies stunk. He knew that. Braves were down.
And
he's worried.
And I told you, they hadn't seen Taiwan. So I had a feeling that he was going to have a good game. And this one feels a little bit different.
Giants
haven't seen
Taiwan.
The Giants haven't seen him this
year.
Well,
they have a little bit. Yeah, right.
This is the new version of Taiwan.
I hope it is. I just don't. You asked me what I felt, and I just feel like tonight is just going to be a little bit rough.
The live studio audience is so upset they bought tickets to this show today because you let them all down.
You know what? I'm sorry. If you want the truth, don't ask me. If you want to tell me how I feel, what do you mean, want me to tell me? No. If you want to know how I feel, if you want my truth, don't ask me.
All right, from Hugh's Truth to Aaron, who's up next on WIP. What's up, Aaron?
Good afternoon, Philadelphia.
What's going on, man?
We are shake, rattling, and rolling out here in San Diego.
All right, well, the Padres are. The team doesn't lose.
They had an earthquake.
Oh, a real
one. We just had a 5.2 earthquake about 30 miles away from us.
Are you okay?
Doing fantastic.
Good.
That's the reason why I have earthquake insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But
tell
you, it's you know, being in California, just like being in other parts of the country where you're dealing with tornadoes and hurricanes, every once in a while you'll get that kind of vertigo where you kind of feel like you're losing balance and it's a little tremor, or you're laying in bed and the bed starts shaking. But this one today, heard like a little rumble. And then the best way to describe it, if you're on a paddleboard and you have that little swell in the ocean that you run into, where kind of your feet feel like you're moving. That's what the ground felt like today. Pretty interesting and eye-opening stuff. That's for
sure. I can only imagine. So, well, Aaron, we've experienced a couple here on the East Coast, but you guys do this all the time. So I'm glad you're well, Aaron. Glad everything's okay. All right, what do you got for us on the Phils?
So here's the deal with the Phils. Okay, hopefully it is like the Mets last year, where at the beginning of the year they just looked like absolute you-know-what, and then you saw where the rest of the season went. But these guys are grown-ass men that are making millions and millions of dollars. So all those fans out there that want to coddle these guys are professionals. If they're having mental issues, they need to go spend the money, find somebody to talk to get over that hump. They've got to do what they've got to do to become champions. And you can't, there's no standing up for them or anything like that. These guys are professional athletes that make millions and millions of dollars.
Well, they are, and right now they're not living up to that, at least a lot of them. I mean, the third baseman, the center, the left fielder, center fielder, whatever you call him, Marsh. I mean, they look like bottom of the league players right now, and they got to fix that. Otherwise, this thing's in trouble.
Listen, my guess at the beginning of the year was Topper is not going to make it through the season. If they keep playing like they're playing, we're going to have a new manager in here by the All-Star game.
You know, Aaron, I hope that doesn't happen because I'm a Topper guy, but. And a good phone call. I do feel like Topper's managing as if he's thinking about that. He just, could you
like
ever imagine?
He's pressuring.
Yes.
Well,
do you, I wonder if it's that, if just he feels it and it's not there, or he feels it because it is there.
I think, which part are you talking about? That he's under pressure?
Well, like, so you know, I'm going to use an analogy. You know how a quarterback sometimes imagines pressure in the pocket? They move off their spot even though there's not pressure? I wonder if he's actually on the hot seat, or he's just worried he's going to be on the hot seat, so he's hitting a lot of buttons, because he's usually Mr. Let's calm down. And this year it's like new leadoff hitter, boom, eighth, bench, Sosa. Like, he's all over the place.
I think it's interesting the way you present that. That's a tough one, because I look at it more so right now that it's trying to get this team going, not so much he's on the hot seat. But that's an interesting way to say it, because like I said earlier, he doesn't have a contract. He's up for a contract, but he's also in a position where you didn't change a whole lot about a team that has World Series aspirations, so now you have to do all the little things. You don't have the luxury to go out and wait till people hit themselves out of certain situations or whatever. You gotta make some moves like right now. So I think it's probably a little bit of both.
And it also may be him sending a message to Dombrowski, like, "Hey, this is what you gave me. I'm doing the best I can here with this. I gotta move things around. Otherwise, we're in trouble here." All right, before we go any further, can we check in with you people today?
So we've been doing this just for, like, I would say, like, a half a week's worth of shows now. There's a few observations that I have about the YouTube chat.
About you people?
About you people, the YouTube chat. The first one is, because, and, you know, we laugh, and these are fun, and I'll still bring these up if they're funny. Mm-hmm. I've noticed nobody comments on other men's appearance more than men. It's never the women. And people, like, you know, women can have a reputation for being catty. Mm-hmm. It's the guys. They're always commenting on other men's appearance. I'm not interested in you fellas. It's all good. Keep it to yourself.
Comment all you want.
Yeah.
But you know, most of that, it comes from other guys' insecurities.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Let's just call it what it is, because if somebody say, "Oh, Joe's bald," or Hugh looks whatever, it's mostly from insecurity.
Don't worry. I'm not interested in you, and I'm not interested in your girl. It's good. Don't worry about me.
Right, and I know I'm bald. I shave my own head.
It's fine.
I'm
bald.
Now, like I said, the funny ones we'll still come up with.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just wanted to point that out. A couple things that I noticed that go on in the YouTube chat. Mm-hmm. This might be new, and it's uniquely from the implementation of YouTube chat with sports radio. We did have somebody doing damage control about their phone call after the fact.
Oh, wow.
And that was Terrence in Springfield.
So Terrence went to the YouTube after being on the radio.
And felt the need to clarify his comment.
Wow.
About, because I got on him about saying, you know, the definition of insanity thing.
It's like the call never ends.
Yep. I do see you in there, Terrence, by the way. And the other one was, I found this one very interesting. Complaining about wait times for being on hold in the chat. So they're on their phone. Mm-hmm. Waiting to go on, and while they're waiting, they're complaining in the chat about how long it takes.
Well, I appreciate whoever that is, because that's a double whammy of commitment to this show.
Yep.
You're watching it, and you're participating at the same time, calling all that.
Yep. A lot of people wondering if Hugh's becoming a company man. for the Phillies, by the way.
Company man.
Yeah, wow. We said, Hughes, stop giving these athletes a pass. You're in the media now. Two buddy-buddy.
Wow. Wait
a minute, I'm going to understand. How am I giving them a pass?
You said they were tired.
Yeah, do not. Yeah.
No,
excuse making.
They were tired.
No, when I say they're tired, it's not like it's an excuse. I'm trying to figure out, when I say they're tired, they did travel a lot. It's not like that's an excuse that they're tired. They're like they're probably mentally tired. It's not an excuse. That's me trying to tell you how it could potentially be.
April 14th.
But no, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring you behind the curtain because I'm like, okay, maybe they're mentally tired from the trip. And sometimes that is a thing. It's not like I'm making an excuse. I'm trying to say, okay, channel the former player in me. Like, say if I took a trip to the West Coast and, you know, I'm not saying you don't have to fight through it. You have to fight through that, but you can be mentally drained.
I get it. And
yeah, I apologize if y'all think it's an excuse.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be one.
I got the Friday night thing. That was a tough spot off the late game on Thursday. Well, why did we look hungover yesterday as a team? What are we doing?
There's no excuse for it. And then, of course, somebody came at you, Joe. Yeah. Clickbait Joe Giglio said the Phillies would win the division in June last year, and now they suck. I don't really see how those two things correlate.
I was right about them winning the division. Like, I was right. I don't want to tell you.
I think that's good to point out there. Popular Hughes Clues guess. Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's a good
one. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. But how does he have anything to do with this coming
weekend?
We don't
know about the mating ritual. This is before the mating ritual.
It's an
animal that Hughes been, or a potential animal that Hughes been fixated on. And then my favorite one. Some people coming at your clues. Does Hugh know how Hugh's Clues works?
I would hope. They're his
clues. They're my clues.
They're his clues.
Yeah, it's my clues. And they're my guesses. And see, I know for the most part you guys are just getting here. You people are just, you know, coming around
you people,
this.
Yep.
But the more that you listen, the more you have to pick up on some of the context clues. It might not be that actual
still blaming
day.
The students. Yep.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying. We talked about chickens last week.
Yep.
Because I asked a question about chicken eggs. And that's, and if I'm being honest, that's how we got to the whole algorithm thing.
What helps with Hughes Clues is institutional knowledge of Hughes' algorithm and his mind. And
how things work over
here. Yeah, and the show, right? Like, the more you listen to the show, it does become easier. He's right. Because there's stuff that comes up a week ago that ends up Hughes Clues next week. That's all true. All right, you people. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
good job, you people.
Yeah, we got to talk to everyone tomorrow because it is time for us to depart. All right, Hugh, end it with this. Three innings. How many runs? Get on the record. Three innings, three runs?
Yeah.
Out of the game? Oh, my goodness gracious. The bats better wake up. Phil's Giants tonight on WIP. After the afternoon show, they're next. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll talk tomorrow on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Go Phil's!